Anybody ever been there? What'd you just say? I surrender? I give up? But have you, you've been in those, right? Our boyfriend, girlfriend, you've gotten in a place where you said, I'm not speaking to you right now, or just friends, right? And what you're showing is that your communication follows your relationship in many situations. Is if your relationship is struggling, your communication is going to dry up, right? Talk to the hand. Right? I know that communication builds good relationships, but I want you to see that also communication is a result of our relationship. So Jesus, because he was close to his Father, he longed to pray. He longed to be with Daddy. So that's why when he came to this place, Luke chapter 1:11, you're going to have to turn in your Bible because I don't think they have everything up again. So how many of you brought a Bible and you're good to go? iPhone, you're ready to go on the iPhone. Here we go. So we're at Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as Jesus or just as John taught his disciples. Now, did you notice it says, teach us to pray? Not how to pray. You see the difference? They're not asking for, you know, like a how-to manual. Not asking for a formula. You know, it was a relational issue. They're saying, look, we're seeing that there's a problem, or we don't have the full desire that you do to pray. Teach us that desire. Where does that come from? And so Jesus answered their question exactly with a relational thing. He says, when you pray, say, Father. When you pray, say, Father. He brought him to that relationship. Why do I pray? Because it's my dad. I want to spend time with him. My father. This last week, Lacey and I had been apart for about a week. I mean, she was there, but I was working, and she was running around with the kids. And one day, you know, after when there was a time, she just needed some daddy time. You know, she just needed to follow me around. I could tell because all of a sudden she was just hanging on me. Moms, dads, you know how kids do that? All of a sudden you're just like, there's somebody hanging on me. She just needed daddy time. That's the relational thing. We need daddy time. And Jesus is saying, look, I go there because I just need daddy time. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Yes, prayer builds our relationship with God, just like communication is important in a strong marriage. But communication is also the sign of a good and strong relationship. So now I want you to do some self-diagnosis. I want you to take a look at your own life a moment. Do you feel like your prayer life isn't as vibrant as you would like it to be? Maybe it's because there's some relational roadblocks that's keeping you from prayer. For instance, if you have sin in your life, have you noticed when there's sin in your life, you don't like to pray? You've noticed that, right? Sin, I want you to hear this, sin is more of a relational issue than a performance issue. Many times we equate to how am I doing with my walk with God, and we try to do it in performance. You know, if I checked all the boxes, what kind of score did I get in all of those areas? But sin is that separates us from God. It's that breaks God's heart. It's that creates a chasm in our relationship. When you sin, it affects your relationship with God. But I want you to be quick to hear this. God does not disown you every time you sin. Aren't you glad? But repetitive sin will create a relational roadblock in your life, and you'll see it reflected in your prayer life. You know, you don't talk to someone that you don't think likes you. Have you ever noticed that? You don't talk to people that you don't think like. You tend to gravitate to the people that like you. I want you to hear this today. God not only loves you, but he really likes you. God really likes you. He created you just the way he wanted you. All of those goofy things he loves about you. He knows that his grace can work in you in an amazing way. You know, when I know that God is liking me, that he loves me, that God wants to spend time with me, it makes me ready to go to him. We need to hear that. We need to hear that God likes spending time with us. Isn't that amazing? God enjoys spending time with us. Remember with Adam and Eve, how he would come down in the cool of the evening to spend time with Adam and Eve? And he came looking for Adam. Why? Because he likes being with his creation. God is relatable. Because of Jesus, we can relate to God. Hebrews 4 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is able to unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us approach then the throne of grace with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." He understands us, and we can relate to God. And you know what? We can grow in our understanding of God. Husbands, how many of you husbands, you've been married more than, say, 10 years? How many more than 10 years? Okay. How many of you veterans like me now understand your wife? Andy, were you in on that one? You understand your wife? Well, let me ask you this. Do you understand her more than you did at five years? No? Okay, wives, let me ask you. How many ladies, you've been married more than 10 years? How many of you think your husband is understanding you more now than he did 5 years ago? A few? Okay. You that are shaking your head, no, you got to get to work at training your husband. We can understand. I know it seems like foreign, but we need to understand. I know this. Ladies, you know that you have to teach your husband how to love you. Right? In this isn't in the notes anywhere, but in Ephesians it says, "Husbands, love your wives," but it never tells the wives to love their husbands. You know why? Because if God didn't tell men, they wouldn't know. Women understand it. Yeah, I'm supposed to love my husband. Men, oh, I'm supposed to love my wife. Okay. But then they don't know how because they don't understand you. So you have to, right? You teach him how to love you, right? Come on, ladies, help me out here. Right? You teach him how. You know? Okay. You teach him how. And guys grow in their understanding. Ladies, are you beginning to understand your husband more than you used to? You still recognize he's not right, but you understand him more, right? We can grow in our understanding. That's a relational thing. In the same way, we can grow, even though God is supremely mysterious and his ways are higher than ours, we can grow relationally in our understanding of God. Listen to this. It's not going to be on the screen. Is it on these screens back here? Because these can pop back up. This one can't. But you that are in front, you're going to have to listen even more closely. This is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory when time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they would have, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But don't stop there. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But we have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of Christ that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God has given us the ability to grow in our understanding by the Spirit and knowing God. Isn't that cool? God has made himself known. He's relatable. We can begin to understand him so we can come close to him, and it draws us that I might understand God. That's why that compels me to pray. Look at this, Psalm 119:130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. 1 John says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. And listen, I want you to see this. If you haven't got there, 1 John 5 Verse 21, I want you to see, especially 21. It says, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Amen. You see, it's a relational issue. Sometimes we don't come to the place of prayer. We're not that prayer giant that God has created us to be because we've allowed something to replace God in our hearts. A heart to prayer is based on a heart that understands that God loves you and has a plan for your life. So first of all, prayer is a reflection of our relationship with God. Build the relationship and you build the prayer life. Secondly, the second reason that you're going to be a prayer giant is this. Are you ready? Okay, just checking. Vanya's ready, so we're going to go ahead just because Vanya and I are ready. So I think I saw that Lucia was ready too. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay, thank you. Secondly, this might sound a little strange, but we pray because we need to pray. Why do we pray? Because we have needs. Right? Jesus taught, he said, look, pray because you need daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Why do I pray? Because I need food, okay? I need God to provide. Have you ever noticed that when provision seems to be a little lax, that you really pray more? Hello? You're looking for a job? God, I need you, right? When we have needs, we go to God. Understanding that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, this is an interesting thing. That's a need as well. It's a relational need. And that'll take you to prayer. Have you ever said, man, I got to go pray because this person is messed up? and you're thinking about somebody else, hello, right? Right? Those relational issues, they drive you to prayer. They also, if you don't take care of them, will soon drive a wedge between your relationship with God. Because God forgives you as he forgives. That's all right. God forgives you. How does God forgive you? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Okay? That need. We need God because how many of you ever been in a relational issue and you say, man, God, you got to help me on this. Right? And lead us not into temptation. When we get to that place where we understand, how many of you say, Pastor, I get tempted all the time. Right? The closer I get to God, the more I get tempted. Anybody else? Somebody, that was, you needed to hear that. Because you think the more that you get, it was you, okay, the more that I get tempted, and the thought is, I shouldn't still be getting tempted. No, you will be, and that compels you to pray even more. We pray because we need to pray. So, once again, let's reverse it, diagnose yourself. If you're struggling in prayer, maybe it's because you don't think you need to. Maybe it's because you don't have any needs. I've got it handled. And that's what happens many times in America. We are so blessed for so long. I mean, we go to Sam's once a month. We don't need our daily bread. I just need Sam's once a month. Or Costco, whatever you're, right? We stock up on things. But when it's a matter of, man, I don't know where this next meal is coming from. That's why this is our hour as the church in America. We're not going to participate in the recession. Hello? Anybody else with me? Let's just choose. I heard a pastor say this from Chicago. He says, we just chose that we're not going to participate in the recession. Let's take a church vote right now. All in favor that we do not participate in the recession, say aye. All that want to participate in the recession, say aye. Okay, motion passed. But this time, when there is so much economic bad news, it should bring us to the place of prayer. Why? Because we need it. But it also is our opportunity as the church to show what people really need and to help meet those needs. Amen? A lot of people don't pray because they don't feel like they need it. Now, if you're at that place, if you'd honestly say, you know what, life is good to me. Right now, I don't. Then here's how you get that need. You need to get to the place where you have a vision that is bigger than you. Where God puts in your heart a vision for the kingdom of God. And if it doesn't scare you, it's not truly from God yet. You're just scratching the surface. God wants to put in us, and this is the word for this day, God wants to increase the vision of every person in New Hope and New Hope as a body. So that we're so scared, saying, God, this is too much for us. So that it compels us for a need to pray. That's where it's like, man, this is bigger than me. Yeah, that's why you need to pray. That's why you need to pray. A lot of people don't pray because they don't need it. Because they're satisfied with the results that they're getting. They're satisfied with the life they have. Look at it. Jesus goes on in his teaching of prayer in Luke 11, verse 5, says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for a friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and get you whatever you need because of, and I love the way the New Living says, because of your shameless persistence. You're just like, not because you're a friend, but because you have a need and you keep knocking. Jesus says, this is where prayer is. Okay? I pray that God will make you aware of the need so much. I pray that somebody will come to your house. Listen to this. Somebody that will come to your house with a need that you can't supply as you look to your cupboards. But you say, you know what, God? I'm going to go to where there's a source, and I'm going to stay persistent because somebody came to my house. Look, all around us, there's 90% of the people right now, this morning, are not in church within a 10-mile radius of us. They are in need, folks. Now, how do we supply that need? We go knocking on the door of our friend. Now, God's not only going to answer because he's our friend, but it's because of our persistence. Hey, I'm sleeping. God doesn't sleep, but because of our persistence in prayer, God's going to do something great. Don't give up. How many of you have been a part of New Hope for more than 4 years? Or one of the branches that came into New Hope? And you've believed God for quite a while, right? For something? Right? Don't give up. Let's keep knocking. Let's keep knocking because there's a need that God wants to do through us. Through us. Let's be persistent. We need God. We need God. You know what? What I'm saying in a nutshell is desperate people pray. Desperate people pray. God wants to do something, so let's be desperate. Let's believe God for something that only he can bring. Finally, and everybody goes, finally. You know what finally means? Really not much, because I have a couple more pages of notes, but here we go. The final reason why you pray is because it works. Prayer works. Hello? Prayer works. Look at this. Jesus went on to say, verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. Who receives? Everyone who asks. Everyone who seeks finds. Who finds? Everyone. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Your Father, right? So that's everyone. That's all inclusive. Turn to the person and say, that means you too. Now here's, I know this is real simplistic, but your spirit needs to hear this. How many of you have ever felt like God answers somebody else's prayers, but not really yours? Yeah, you felt that way? I have to. So when you really have a big need, you try to go find somebody that's more spiritual than you, right? But that's not what Jesus said here, my friend. He said, everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives. So then he goes on to say, so keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. You're the right person. It's a matter of your persistence. And you know what? Once God answers your prayer, you're going to pray some more, aren't you? The reason we pray is because it works. God answers prayer. Look, he goes on to say this. He says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What happens? God answers his children's prayer. He answers prayer. When does he answer prayer? All the time. Does he answer it right away? Somebody said yes. Who is that person that said yes? Because I want to pray with them. Sometimes he answers right away, but sometimes he says, wait. And sometimes he says, no, that's not best for you. But he always answers prayer. Look at this, James 5, verse 13 says, is any one of you in trouble? You can answer these questions, okay? Is any one of you in trouble? Okay, we got somebody that's in trouble. You should pray. Is anyone happy? Woo-hoo! Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Okay, he should call upon the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Who do you pray for? Each other. Okay? Yes, we have a prayer team. Yes, we have pastors. And I love to pray with people. But it's even better when you pray for each other. Now, here's the next verse that I want you to see out of that. It says, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Miss Lily, I'm going to say it the way you and I memorize it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? Why do we pray? Because it works. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And when you recognize that, you are compelled to pray. Jesus was saying, look, why do I pray? His disciples were saying, why do you pray? Teach us to pray. And he says, I pray because it works. If you are a follower of Christ, it is in your DNA to be a prayer giant. God has already made you. He's already wired you for communication. We read how the Spirit himself intercedes with us. He's wired you to be able to have that hotline with God. You're ready to be a prayer giant. Not just somebody who's goofing around with it, but God is calling you and compelling you to pray. You just need to become what God's made you to be. Now, the moment you decide to follow Christ, the moment you pray the prayer of faith and invite Jesus into your life, he answers that prayer. He answers that prayer. And something miraculous takes place. He puts his Holy Spirit in you, he forgives you, and he regenerates you. And he writes on you a new genetic code. And in that genetic code is not only the ability, but actually the desire to spend time with God, to pray. Before we pray for people to be unleashed in this, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray that prayer of faith. If you've never accepted Christ into your life, if you'd say, man, I'm still living under my own way of doing things, God has a better plan for you. The God who created you wants to recreate you in his image. He wants to make things new in your life. And you can have that miracle happen in your life. If you've never done that, God wants to give you that opportunity. Then we're going to, after we pray for those that might want to do that, and you can be thinking about that right now, is today the day that you want to make that prayer, that you want to make it firm in your life? If so, God will answer that prayer. And after we do that in just a moment, we're going to unleash the prayer in your heart as a body. We're going to unleash some prayer giants. We're going to see God do something amazing. How many of you are ready to be a prayer giant? Okay, you don't want to leave here feeling guilty about how much you don't pray, but you want to be saying, man, I just love spending time with God. Prayer works, man. I have a need. We're going to be praying that God increases the vision of many of you, that he increases your vision to a place where you recognize you need to pray even more, because God wants to do something powerful in your life. He wants to bring people to your home, to your area, for you to minister to, by the grace of God. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I just, by your Spirit, pray that you would go beyond the words that I said. Go beyond the human understanding to touch spirits and hearts right now. God, I pray that as you're drawing by your Spirit people to yourself, that there would be a boldness to respond the grace of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Father, I thank you for calling us to yourself. So while heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, if you would say, you know, Matt, I haven't given my life to Jesus and I haven't prayed that prayer, but I want to make things right with God today. I want to pray with you. I want to give you that chance. When you pray that prayer with me in a moment, God's going to supernaturally do something in your life. You might not feel it all at once, but God's going to change you, and he's going to declare you righteous, and he's going to write a new genetic code on your life, one that follows after God. going to make all things new. He's going to forgive you of the sins. He's going to put relationships back together. Because God does that kind of thing. If you'd like to make that step today, you want me to pray with you, just raise your hand right now. Just say, Pastor Matt, that's me. I want to pray that prayer. I want to make things right. I give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody today that you haven't done that and you want to do that? Just shoot that hand up right now and I'll pray with you. Looking for God to do amazing things in people's lives. We're going to move on in a minute, but I want to give you this opportunity. Anybody? Well, then, there's either some people that are thinking about it, which is great. Some people that might not be interested, but God will keep talking to you about it. Or you've already made that prayer. You've already made that declaration. Maybe you're at that place and you say, Pastor, I am ready for my prayer life to be unleashed. I'm ready to become that prayer giant. And I just want that grace to be flood through my life. I want to pray with you. If that's where you're at, just being honest with God, raise your hand. Just to say, Lord, I want you to unleash that. In fact, I want you to, if you feel comfortable, just go ahead and stand up if you want that in your life. Just go ahead and even now begin to lift your hand and begin to pray out to God, saying, God, I want to be that. I want to see that communion with you. God, I don't want to feel guilt anymore, but I want to be called and compelled, and I sense you calling me. God wants to do that. God wants to unleash that in you. God, by your Spirit and by your name, Lord, I thank you that you do all things well, God. I thank you, God, that you have called us to yourself. And Lord, I pray that you would unleash that spirit of intercession upon us, God, that spirit of prayer, that we would enjoy time with you, God, that we would be compelled to come close. God, that we would know you in every way. God, do that. I pray that you would unleash a vision that's bigger than me. Say that prayer if that's you. Say, God, give me a vision that's bigger than me. God, I pray that you would just in a way, scare us with a vision to where it compels us to you, God. Help us to see the need around us. And God, bring about that change. Unleash that giant in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray.